But we do have another speaker now, and this speaker is somebody who has really lit up the dissident right. She is somebody who brings a real kind of positive energy to this movement. And she's very different to the sort of person that people typically associate with the dissident right. She is somebody from a very liberal background who had a very, very sudden conversion to our movement when she became the victim of the Black Lives Matter movement, when people that she held dear told her in a very brutal and unkind way exactly what Black Lives Matter really meant. It wasn't about bringing people together. It wasn't about equality. It was about making her feel guilty for merely existing. And she is someone that didn't crumble under that pressure. She is someone who didn't crumble under the pressure she has received from the press and from her church and from former friends who have condemned her. Instead, she has stood strong, she has stood proud, and we are so happy to have somebody with that kind of strength again with us here today. Please give a warm round of applause for Jodi Kay.
My speech isn't political because I'm the least political person I probably know, and I probably wouldn't know what to say. When Mark said, you have had quite a liberal background, I was like, I don't know what you mean. Never really heard the term liberalism even. But before I want to do that, when Mark was introducing Sam, the most amazing thing about Sam's introduction was not the glorious words of Sam. It was Sam, Laura's response to Mark's word. And I just want to give my love to Sam and Laura, because you are the epitome of loving relationships that our children should strive to. And I love them. There's a note here. Try not to cry. Okay. Made note. So I am here to tell my journey from an apolitical liberal to a woman standing at the fastest rising nationalist movement I think the UK has ever seen, and one that got Keir Starmer slightly embarrassed and got the Great Replacement trending and got Israel's nation state law out to millions of people. A glimpse into my non-political world. This is an absolute true story. In 2012, my dear friend Vaughn said something about Karl Marx. And I was like, I've read Karl Marx. Oh, no, I haven't. I've seen the film. Like, oh, no, it was Howard Marx, wasn't it? And that was a true story. Howard Marx, the infamous weed dealer. So that's my political background there. I had mistaken Karl Marx for Howard Marx. And I saw the film. No. So that's where I am. So my journey began. My enemy wasn't multiculturalism or diversity. I didn't grow up around that. I grew up in a very broken society. So my speech today is, as Mark referred to them, as the enemy of the West, because my upbringing was broken, and it wasn't broken due to diversity or multiculturalism. It was broken because of those in power. And here's a fun game. Here's a fun game you can all try. I tried this the other day. Google, or whatever you want, DuckDuckGo, every single prime minister, just pick one randomly, and just check their connection with Israel. It's a fun game. I tried it the other day. Someone I was with and said, okay, try this one. Yep, I'm going. Fun game. So I do recommend you try that. But when I read Mark's book and I heard of The Enemy of the West, my pain at reading that book could have been that Mark had written it about me. I was a victim of that system. I was a victim of that certain society. And I'm lucky and privileged to be here today, but I'm actually lucky to have got out of my where I grew up alive, because many of my, call them friends, associates, they didn't. There were many suicides where I grew up. There were teenage mums. There were drug overdoses. And this is the system that we're living in. It's broken. And so to read Mark's book was a real pain in my heart. Like, Mark, I'm assuming Mark wrote that book as an observer of how life was. And I read it as someone that had lived that life. So I am definitely lucky to be here alive. But I also wanted to base this speech on courage, which we need. And I want to base this speech on conviction, which we need. And I want to base this speech on truth, which we need. And I also want to base this speech on faith, because as someone mentioned earlier, I think it was Sam, this is an existential battle. This is beyond us, and the enemy of the West has been our enemy for thousands and thousands of years. So this is, really is an existential battle. And my apologies to Scotland if some things I say you've already heard, because this is speech number two for me. I had the privilege to speak in Scotland, beginning of the month, I believe it was. And huge shout out to Scotland, because the cohesion I saw in Scotland, the group, and I've always been in this mindset of it's quantity over quality. This is a numbers game. This is a numbers game. And then I went to Scotland and saw the group, and it's no accident, I don't think, that 300 Spartans is a certain man's avatar, because it's Spartans up there. It's Spartans up there. So, but I do happen to be in the best region in England. So it's surreal. I'm here, if I'm honest. It's very surreal. I was an apolitical liberal that's found her way into nationalism somehow. But also, I am lucky to be here. I had a very traumatic birth. So when I was born, I was what's called blue baby. I wasn't breathing. I wasn't moving. I was blue. And I do believe that God kept me alive. And I believe that God kept me alive for a reason. I discovered from a very young age that I had a gift of music. God blessed me with the gift of empathy. God blessed me with the gift of compassion, to be able to listen to people, to be able to make people feel relaxed and calm and happy. So my life really is in honor of God, and I choose to serve as God's servant, because I think when God gives you life, the least you could do is serve God. And I've always wanted to help people. It's been my innate nature forever. I was told when I was at playgroup, it was like I would spot those that didn't have the good home life, and I'd run over to them and hold their hand and want to be their friends, and that was just a nature I always had. And it was like I was magnetized towards them. And my mum told me, again, the area I was brought up in, the very broken society, there was one particular boy, and he would swear, even as a 3 or 4 year old. And I said, swearing's not very nice. And he would swear while he was kind of playing out. But as soon as he came into my house, he knew swearing was wrong. And my mum reminded me of that. And it's like, we don't swear here. So he tried to be a better person in my company as well. But as I've said, I didn't grow up amongst diversity. And when I did, they were my friends. They were my peers. But it was the enemy of the West. And as I say, reading Mark's book it had me in tears at the pain that I've lived that life, and I'm lucky that I got out. There are so many that didn't. And as I said, in Scotland, there are thousands of me still there. There are thousands of me still living this world of liberalism, and I didn't know what liberalism meant. And when Mark said it, it was this strange reaction, like, I really have no idea what you mean. And now seeing it and knowing that I was part of that and I've got out, it would be too much for me to say that PA has saved my life, but it certainly is steering me in a better path. I want to live my life better. I want to help other people live their life better. And I have just the utmost love and thanks for Mark and Laura and PA for welcoming me from this world of debauchery and filth and, you know, free love and everything that comes with that. And being in there, like everyone, I wanted to rebel. So I went and out and got my nose pierced. And my uncle said to me, "You're so pretty. Why have you got your nose pierced?" Fine, I'm going to get my lip pierced as well. And it was like, as soon as someone would say to me, "Why have you done that?" I was like, "It's my body, I do what I like." So I had a face full of piercings, tattoos. I didn't do the dyed hair, thank goodness. But I did go through the, I want to rebel. But rebelling was actually being led down this road that seemed like rebellion. And as my dear friend said to me, I was sold a false sense of freedom to be this, be free, you know. It wasn't. I was trapped in liberalism. I was trapped in this world of acceptance and tolerance and these words that are thrown out so often. And I said this in Scotland as well. I would be holding the rainbow flag, thinking this is how we can make the world a better place. So I'm going to hold this flag because that's the right thing to do. And there are many, many people still there with their flags and supporting this, genuinely believing this is how we make the world a better place. But it's a false sense of freedom. It's a false sense of love. I feel the Western woman has been attacked more than anyone, because our very nature is to love. Our very nature is to nurture and want to care. But that has been guided over here. Give your care to these people. Give your love to these people. Well, I stand here childless, but Laura, I'm doing what I'm doing for your baby. I'm doing what I'm doing for everyone in here that has children. I'm doing what I'm doing for everyone in here that has grandchildren. Because this is the drive that it needs to happen. It needs... I was given a Bible by a very dear friend of mine. And I'm not going to say the full sentence, but it was given to me on day 14 of a month. So I'll just say the number's 14. That's what we need to strive for. And although I stand here childless, doesn't make my drive or my passion any less. In fact, it makes it more. Because as if there are thousands of me still in that place, I was sold. You know, just think, you don't have to worry about nappies. You don't have to worry about sleepless nights. You don't have to worry. I say, yeah. I used to look at my friends and think, I'm off to the beach. You know, enjoy that screaming, baby, I'm off. That's what I was sold. That's what I was sold, and there are thousands, like Wesley said, time to take my pill, the killing the baby pill for liberalism. I've been there. I've been there. So, as I said, Mark's book, it could have been written about me. Try not to cry, she says, try not to cry. So, with the Western woman's heart, feeling like I didn't really fit in my area, because I was this shining light and it was a very dark place where I lived, and I was wanted to be this lovely woman and smiling and making everyone feel better, but that was so difficult to do. So the weight of depression kicked in, alcohol kicked in from an early age, drugs kicked in from an early age. So I fled England, my home, my people that I didn't really have much love for, much thought for, headed to Ibiza to have a little bit of hedonistic time. But I found myself, and through my journey of yoga, extreme yoga, and through my journey of wanting to find truth, and through my journey of wanting to love and honor, came the day where my friend handed me a pen drive. And he said, "I can't believe I'm giving you this. Watch it." He used to be in the BNP. And my first reaction was, BNP. It repelled me. BNP bad. BNP bad. BNP scary. BNP bad. But I watched the debate of Mark and the Israel advocacy movement and fell in love. Right, sign me up. The way he held himself against that panel, and it opened my eyes. So then I started watching PWR, started seeing some names in the chat, and the more, I remember Mark once said on a stream long, long ago, "Those of you that are living abroad, come home." And I had that in my head. I was like, I live here now. This is my home. The sun, this time last year, I was still in Ibiza. We got the sun here, but I live 10 minutes from the beach. And this, if you live abroad, come home. And that was ringing in my ears. I'm watching more PWR, watching more streams. And I thought, am I going to start streaming? Surely that's absurd. I don't know anything about politics. I thought Karl Marx was a weed dealer. I'm not. Who can I talk about politics to? But I don't have to talk about politics. I can talk about life. I can talk about my journey. I can talk about love. I can talk about what makes us who we are. And so I started streaming, but I was given a very difficult ultimatum by someone I love dearly, dearly, dearly. "Please don't do this. Please do not go public with that man. If you do, I will have to cut you out of my life." I already knew what my answer had to be. I could not keep my mouth shut. When you know and you've seen the truth, how can you not want to do something? How can you keep quiet about that? And I said, well, the sad thing is that I don't have a choice in this. I have to be a voice. I've always gone for those that needed help. I've gone for those that needed something that they lacked. And I realized I'm the underdog. We're the underdogs. How can I keep quiet about that? Why would I want to keep quiet about that? I don't want to keep quiet about that. And despite the attempts to keep me quiet, despite the attempts to think she's a weak link, we'll get rid of her first, I'm still here and I'm not going anywhere. All I'm talking is the truth. Yeah. And we shouldn't fear that. Hate speech, no, truth is hate speech to those that hate the truth. So keep speaking the truth. It's not hateful. It's really not hateful. But I do want to touch on something that Mark said that was my real journey that got me here. So after watching PWR, I read one of Mark's favourite books. It's not Mrs. Bear. So I started reading a certain book and had my eyes opened even more. But it was the Black Lives Matter movement. It was George Floyd's death that got me to where I am, because one of Mark's videos was talking about the truth behind the death and how he was intoxicated with drugs, how this man was a criminal, how he had held a gun to a pregnant woman, and yet he has been elevated to a saint. And I knew I had to speak up. And my stomach was really going, churning, because I didn't want to speak up. I didn't want to be the one that I said, well, actually, have you looked into this? Have you done your own research? But despite my stomach going, I was saying to God, I don't want to do this, but I had to do it. So I did, and I spoke up, and I told the truth. I was ostracized very, very quickly. But one of my friends wanted to share his experience as a person of mixed race, wanted to talk about his hardship. And I said, well, let's talk about it. I'll give my point of view. You can give your point of view. So he offered me a chart of intersectionality that he had heard about from university. And if you haven't heard of intersectionality, I'm sure there's an early life section on the person that invented it. And the chart of intersectionality is basically white man bad, the enemy of the West oppressed. And there's, you know, varying levels. And so he gave me this chart, and I said to him about, well, what happens to England if immigration keeps in the pace that it is? And he said, well, you know, you'll become the minority. And I said, is that okay? And he said, this is your karma. You deserve this. This is what you've done from generations and generations. This is your karma. And I, from someone that is so loving and caring, to be told that I'm the bad one, how have I not seen? And I remember physically shaking. I thought, how have I been so blind? How could I listen to Mark and believe that? How could I have listened to all these streams and not seen it's us? And I experienced white guilt for the first time in my life, but it got me so much. I felt like a demon in white skin that didn't have the right to live anymore. And I even contemplated taking my life because of my white guilt. All I want to do is make people feel good, and we're the bad guys, and we're the ones, you know, doing all these bad things. And I was like, whew. But it wasn't my friend telling me this. Because of my research and because of what I had discovered through a certain book, and researching, and my dear friend Vaughn, it wasn't his words coming out of his mouth. It was their words coming out through him. So I had this pill, all at once, and here I am. It was a very difficult journey. So before too long, I returned to England. Here's to England. And I came back, and in true Jodie Force, started groping, and got onto LBC, which was my call. I can't even remember his name, but I spoke about the booing at Millwall. Gemma from Cambridge was my alt character, and I spoke to a certain man about booing from Millwall. And then one Sunday evening, I got a phone call from LBC saying, Gemma from Cambridge. I was like, no. Oh, yes. Keir Starmer's coming on LBC tomorrow morning. We'd like you to speak to him. What? What do I say? And they had given me a script. Well, not a script. They said, well, you know, you mentioned the booing at Millwall, so throw that one on him. But I think the reason that they got me back, this is speculation, I can't actually say, but when I spoke to the first presenter, I did say that the knee on the neck was actually brought to America from Israel, because this is how the Palestinians are treated with the knee on the neck. And how this had made its way to America. And I said, it's not actually an American technique, it's from Israel. And I think they wanted to speak to Gemma from Cambridge so that they had their script to belittle that idea. Little did they know, and I thank Nativist for this, because we were in a little group, and I was like, what do I say? And I had all these, say this. Oh, there's too many, what do I say? Say this. So I chose one question, and with me being I'm a very competitive, and I just saw Nativist say, ask a liberal question, get a liberal answer. I was like, all right then, here's the Israel Nation State Law, Keir. And he didn't know what to say. Other than, well, Gemma, we all have that right. And if you didn't catch what I said, the Israel Nation State Law has been passed that those in Israel, the Jews, are the only people that have the right to self-determination in that land. And I said, as a white British English female, why don't I have that right? And Keir Starmer said, well, you do. Do I? I don't think so. I'm not seeing it. I'm being told I'm the bad guy. I'm being told it's my ancestors that did the wrong. Well, my granddad was in the war. He was a very, very... I didn't get to meet him. I was 6 months when he passed. But the stories I've heard of him when he was in the war, he was injured through shrapnel. A shrapnel went into his spine, and they actually signed him off and said, you've been amazing, thanks, you know, go home and heal. Thanks for your time, thanks for your service. And as soon as he could walk, he said, send me back. And they're like, but we've just signed you off. He said, send me back. This is for my country. This is my people there. And his blood flows through my veins. Courage. I can only imagine what it must have been like in the trenches. I can only imagine what it must have been like with the noise and not sleeping and the wet feet and the war. They haven't trained for this. He was a worker. He had his privilege of having to work however many hours a day to raise his family. That was his privilege. But he went back, and his blood is in my veins. And as I say, whatever I'm able to do with my voice, with my singing, with my streams, I'm also writing a book, so I'll be the next best-selling author. I'm here to do what I can, and they will not silence me, because I found something that I didn't even know existed, and it's you guys. It's my country. It's why we have the history we do, the architecture, the art, the people, the history, the beauty. We are so creative, we're innovators, we're powerful, we're beautiful people. I'm sure all the women come, you know, the staff in here are like, oh, please don't send me in there, I don't want to go in there. What are they seeing? You know, nice soap, buy some soap, nice tea. Candles. But look, you know, we're dressed smart. We're being respectful to them. We're not kicking them on the way in, getting rid of us. No, we're just, you know, because that's who we are. And that's what we are. I've just got here, Mark was amazing. I don't know why I've got that on my notes. Why? Mark, yeah, it's not my writing. Mark was amazing. And Mark is amazing, because during my time, he just said to me one day, so, are you okay? I said, I'm not actually, no, I've had this really, really difficult conversation with my friend. And he said, do you want to talk about it? I was like, you're a busy man. He said, do you want to talk about it? I said, well, I think I need to talk to someone, because I don't know how I feel. I don't know how to move beyond this. And he took the time out to email me, speak to me, phone me. He put me in touch with an amazing woman who I still haven't met yet, but I will. And he did that for someone he didn't know, for someone that's living thousands of miles away. But he helped me through one of the most difficult times. My whole life, that as I knew it, the roots had been lifted. And you know, you put your glasses on from they live and you see and it's everywhere. And he was there. So maybe that was my writing. Mark's amazing. I'm just going to come to my other notes. So as I say, there are thousands of me still there. There are thousands of me with a timer on their phone. There are thousands of me thinking that having children is a trap. Having children is, it will ruin your life. Don't do it. Don't, yes, do it. So 14, 14, 14, 14, 14 times. Yeah, 14. So we do have one enemy, and this enemy has been our enemy as long as the books go back. They don't like us very much. And they don't hide the fact that they don't like us very much. As I say, just go through certain online stream and find out all those that have been in charge of our country for the last however many decades. I was shocked when I looked at that and discovered that, because I didn't know. I thought maybe one or two, but enjoy the game. Keep searching, because it'll be hard to find one that hasn't been connected with Israel in one way, shape, or form. And this is an existential battle, as I've said. And I think that's what keeps me smiling. I think that's what, because I call myself a Christian. I pray morning and night. I read my Bible morning and night. And I'm learning so much that I didn't know. And what I want to say, being doxxed, being someone that, you know, doesn't, I don't want people thinking bad things about me, because I know what's in my heart. And just the thought of one person, I mean, you know, we're all human, but it's like, oh, it doesn't make sense. I know what I'm like. But to have hit the mainstream media, to have been made out as this extreme hater. She spoke to Mark Collett, so she must be a really bad person. They made me look amazing, you know, they're, which I think was the grace of God. You know, they try and attack, and the attacks still keep coming. But we have to have courage. And I don't know if you know, but in wartime, those that didn't go to war, I do believe the women would offer them a white feather as a sign of cowardice. And I say, bring back the white feather. It takes fear to find courage. I get scared. I'm scared I'm here in a dress. You know, to stand in front of so many people and speak. It's scary. To have your name in the mainstream is scary. To have people writing about you in a very nasty way, it's scary. The fact you could lose your job, that's scary. But what's more scary is the thought of doing nothing and losing what our ancestors built and what our future generations will continue. That's more scary. So I say, bring back the white feather of cowardice, and let's start distributing that, because we're all, I feel fearful. But then that's when the courage comes. That's when you get to stand in your courage and your strength. Take the fear, alchemize it, be courageous, and win. We are going to win, because that's who we are. That's what we do. History has shown us that's what we do. We are victorious. We are triumphant. So don't stop speaking the truth. Don't stop looking for the truth. And I just want to share something from my Bible. I stand here as a Christian. I have a wonderful cross around my neck. I know not everyone in here likes to hear the word God or wants to think about God or Christianity, so I'm not here to preach. But this passage, when I heard this, it did something to me, because I really feel this is where we are. So it's from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and it is called Exhortations for Spiritual Warfare. Finally, be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Clothe yourselves with the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand your ground on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm, therefore, by fastening the belt of truth around your waist, by putting on the breastplate of righteousness, by fitting your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace, and in all this, by taking up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is a battle beyond us, and we are not alone. I'd like to thank you very much for your time. Thank you for having me.